Leading Ideas Talks is brought to you by the Lewis Center for Church Leadership of Wesley Theological Seminary in Washington, D.C. Subscribe free to our weekly newsletter, Leading Ideas, at churchleadership.com/leading ideas. Leading Ideas Talks has been brought to you by Discovering God's Future for Your Church. This turnkey video toolkit helps your congregation discern and implement God's vision for your church's next faithful steps. Discovering God's Future for Your Church is available on download and DVD at churchleadership.com/shop. Most churches moved so quickly into digital ministry in 2020 that they have not had a chance to think about lessons learned or what comes next. In this episode, digital ministry expert Keith Anderson reflects on what we've learned and how our pandemic practices might reshape the future narrative of the church.
Welcome to Leading Ideas Talks podcast. I'm Ann Michael, Associate Director of the Lewis Center for Church Leadership of Wesley Theological Seminary, and I'm pleased to be your host for this episode. I'm talking today with Keith Anderson, who is pastor of Upper Dublin Lutheran Church in Ambler, Pennsylvania. He's also a thought leader on the subject of how our digital culture shapes faith and the practice of ministry, and on how to extend ministry into the digital sphere. He's the author of the book, The Digital Cathedral, Networked Ministry in a Wireless World, and he is co-author with Elizabeth Drescher of Click to Save Reboot, The Digital Ministry Bible. So Keith, welcome to this episode of Leading Ideas Talks.
Thanks, Anne. It's great to be here.
Yeah, so I wanted to begin by asking, you're someone who's been thinking and writing and innovating in the realm of digital ministry long before the pandemic put this issue front and center for the rest of us. And so I wanted to ask you, what have you learned in this period when so many churches have been forced really into the digital space? And what new questions has it raised for you?
Well, it's interesting. I've been doing digital ministry and in some way talking about it, giving workshops or speaking or blogging, for about 10 years and always trying to encourage people to try things and use these different tools that are available to us. And I think that people made more progress in the last 6 months than they did in the last 10 years when it comes to using digital tools in their ministries. Simply because they've had to. We had no other choice but to figure out how to do Zoom meetings and webinars and how to use YouTube and live video and maybe podcasts even, and figuring out how we do education like with our confirmation or adult ed online as well. So I've been really impressed with all the ways in which ministry leaders have jumped into that space. And it really, I've seen it coming out of a real love for their people and a desire to love and support them and share the gospel and help people stay strong in their faith during this time. So ministry leaders have been very game, very resilient, and very creative. We're all doing things a little differently. And I love seeing all the different things ministry leaders are doing.
Yeah, I really agree with that. I think that one of the lessons for me in this is we think of churches as so resistant to change and they are in normal times, many are, Yes. But just how nimble and adaptive so many church leaders have managed to be when they've had to be. And I think there's a message of hope in that. That we can make significant changes when we're confronted with the necessity of it. So one of the main messages that I took away from your 2015 book, The Digital Cathedral, is a plea really to connect with people in the places where they live their lives, and one of those being digital spaces. But underlying that message of the book, I think, is the important notion that churches are no longer in a place where they can just wait for people to come, and that our thinking really needs to shift from come here to go there, and we can't assume any longer if we build it, they will come. And that's another way of saying that we can't rely on what a lot of people call the attractional model of ministry. Mm-hmm. And You know, as we find ourselves in this place where so many churches, I think, have been impressed with their ability to reach people in the digital realm, I'm a little bit concerned that as churches are seeing new people being attracted, for example, to their digital worship, that they may unintentionally just be transferring those attractional assumptions into their work in the digital realm. And so my question is, how can churches avoid the trap of developing digital ministry that just assumes the same old assumptions? I mean, how can digital ministry become a more missional way of connecting with people?
Yeah, I think, you know, Elizabeth Drescher and I talk in our book, Click to Save, about how we're so accustomed to living in a broadcast media environment that we can look at social media as kind of just doing, being the same kind of thing, that it's good about getting our message out. Or, you know, in this case, we're operating under this attractional model of being church in person, you know, prior to the pandemic. And I have to say, I mean, I have to confess, I wrote these books, but when I looked at my website during the pandemic, so much of it was, when you come to our church, these are the things you will experience. And we had to really revamp our website because I realized, well, people can't come. So then what kind of message are we sending? What kind of interaction do we want to create? So we kind of went back to the drawing board on our website. But yeah, I think maybe there's the same kind of pitfall that we can look at these tools and we can improve our, we can buy better cameras for our live streaming. We can get more sophisticated on the kinds of things, the technology we're able to use, and get infatuated with that technology and the way it looks and the way it feels. And, you know, in addition to seeing what other ministry leaders are doing and being very grateful for what they're doing, I have to say that, you know, I have to confess to feeling a little competitive and jealous at times for some of the ways that other people are doing things. So I think it's very easy to fall into that trap of just taking what we've done and that kind of mindset around it and just projecting it into digital space. But what the digital space really is asking of us, which I've always felt is kind of a corrective for the church, is to really continue to focus on the relationships and the connections that are possible and that we're experiencing in very real time that are happening. So I'm somebody that loves all the bells and whistles and all the tools, hardware and software, but, you know, keeping it simple enough and not getting so so consumed with those things that we miss out on the most important thing, which is connections. And one of the challenges for us moving forward will be, like, we've made these connections online. Now, how do we nurture and sustain them in the longer term? When maybe some people will have the opportunity to go back in person to their churches.
Yeah, I'm so glad you mentioned that, because I do think that, you know, for churches that have managed to transfer some of their worship and their programming to the digital sphere, that's their next question is, as we are beginning to engage people through these media, how do we then nurture the connections and build relationships? So do you have any tips or strategies for, let's say, a church is having online worship and somebody new shows up? What do you do?
Yeah, that's a great question. We've had that ourselves. We also have a lot of former members who moved away to North Carolina that come and worship with us on Sundays. We have this huge North Carolina contingent for whatever reason. So that was an existing relationship that's carried forward. But for new people, you know, how do we create opportunities to really connect with them? I mean, by and large, if they're engaging with us in worship on a live stream, they're just watching. So we're not getting that feedback unless we're, you know, getting some prayer requests in the chat, you know, on YouTube or Zoom. So, I think creating venues, say on a Zoom meeting after the live stream, for people to come and just like do a Q&A with the pastor, or for that are, that's geared to newcomers. You know, the Digital Cathedral is a book about moving between digital and face-to-face spaces. So if those people who are connecting with you are local, You know, right now we're mostly outside, and we're not doing a ton of stuff in our building as yet, but creating those invitations to be together in person, either with even with just smaller groups outside at the moment, can be a way of reinforcing that relationship. So then when we're back online together, we have more of a story, we have more of a connection.
Mm-hmm. I think another assumption that is changing in how churches connect with people. And, you know, I think what's happening now in the pandemic is just a trajectory of, it's a hastening of trends that were already underway. But one of the ones that we've paid attention to is that, you know, worship isn't always the first point of entry for somebody in a church anymore. Mm-hmm. And so I read an article just the other day that was talking about, you know, setting up online book groups and, or looking for an existing online book group and, or, you know, figuring out the interests and groups and relationships that people already had online and then connecting through those. Mm-hmm. Have you done any of that kind of work, or do you have advice on approaching that?
We've done some adult educational programming since the pandemic started. So it's a Zoom either meeting or a webinar, and we've hosted it, we've recorded it, and then posted it on our website. So the image I have for our website as we go forward is that we're creating this kind of catalog or library, digital library of resources for, mm-hmm. Whether it's, we did one on parenting, we did one on mental health during the pandemic. And we're sort of in the process of doing the same thing for our confirmation classes. So that when people come to the site, they can grow in their faith, right? They could watch something, they could listen to something. And so they're engaged with that. And, you know, some of these gatherings are larger than, you know, our adult education gatherings that we were having in person, depending on the topic. A way of, you know, I mean, when we're talking about, they're not just theological or biblical, though they're very much connected, but we're talking about mental health in a pandemic. That casts a wide net for people, or mm-hmm. parenting in the pandemic. That's a wide net. And I guess I've just always felt that if we start, it's that piece about starting where people are. If we start where people are, the questions they have, the challenges they're facing, there's a lot that our scriptures and our faith and our traditions have to say about that, but let's kind of meet them in those pressure points in their lives where they are, and then see what our faith has to say about it.
Mm-hmm. How are you using social media to interface with those kinds of events?
We're using YouTube a lot more than we ever did. We have a cool series at church right now that our adult ed director came up with called Walks in Faith. And there's at the moment about a half a dozen short videos from members of our church who talk about their faith journeys. And mm-hmm. we have a member who volunteered to edit them. And, you know, they're really cool to hear first person stories about where the rubber hits the road with faith. And that's on YouTube. That's also housed on our website. So we're using a lot of video now than we mm-hmm. ever did. And when the pandemic started, we decided like our website was, and I'm the webmaster, so I can, you know, take responsibility. Our website was just not very user friendly, although it looked very nice. So we redid our website when we went into lockdown, recognizing we were going to need a much better platform. So we've used our website in really good ways to pull together a lot of the materials. We have a Facebook page, and we don't use that as much as we should, really. Early on, I was doing Facebook Live videos on our page, and I was just pulling a book off the shelf and talking about kind of the little lesson, you know, little reflection off of that book. And that was well received. But with all of the technology that we have to be involved in now, with the live streaming and the slides and the production that's involved. It's actually taken some of my focus away from the social media, you know, Facebook and Instagram side of what we've been doing. And we've been using MailChimp a lot. I mean, which is like the most basic thing I know is email, but trying to use that email marketing platform in a more effective way. We've spent some time trying to get that in better shape than it was.
Yeah, that really leads into the next question that I wanted to ask you. And, you know, I think in the initial months of this pandemic, so many churches were just kind of in crisis management mode. You know, how do we get our worship online? Everybody was scrambling. How do we get our giving online? How do we get our groups online? You know, for what everybody thought was going to be a relatively brief interruption in their normal practice. And I think as it's beginning to dawn on people that as we come out of this disruptive period, that the future of ministry, at least successful ministry, you know, we're probably never going totally back to where we were. And, you know, people are talking about a hybrid future where, you know, they're yes, you have a place-based ministry, but you have a virtual ministry as well. And so I guess my question is, if that's the reality that we're headed for, or we're already in, really, I guess, what do you think that pastors and other church leaders need to be doing now to prepare for that future? And how, you know, what kind of things need to be given priority? Because, I mean, you said you had to, you know, you had to put your emphasis in one place, you know, in order just to meet the moment. I mean, if you were thinking, you know, so if people were thinking about how do I prepare for this new reality, what are some of the things to be focusing on?
So some of the things that be focusing on are really, I guess I would call infrastructure, like mm-hmm. probably would consider very mundane, but you know, over the last year we worked on getting away from desktop computers to laptop computers for staff members. Having better file sharing on Office 365. We had to get a new database anyway, so it's a web-based database. So having a really good online giving system, you know, so maybe some people moved to an online giving, you know, when this all happened because they didn't have one or they weren't happy with what they had, and now's the time to be thinking about what's a long-term sustainable giving platform. Right. Because it takes a lot of time and effort. We switched over our database and online giving last year, so we were lucky we had already done that. But I think there's, you know, the ways that we work and we coordinate and we communicate remotely, giving access to our staff members for kind of documents and all of those things. Like we did that in 2019, and we're lucky that we did. But people probably, you know, this year have had to kind of make do with things. So what does it look like moving forward? Where do you want those things to be? I think that's really important. I think like investing in your website. So again, infrastructure, but like really having that be something that's going to be a landing place that's more engaging, interactive. And if you're trying to teach adults or confirmation or having worship materials available or some kind of series, whether it's member reflections or something else, having that be like a really welcoming, good platform that you could use as new things emerge. I mean, I think all of those are going to be really important. And I think starting to think ahead now, which I have to say, like, you know, I think for us, I'm really only just starting to be able to do that now, as much as I think about these things, because we've been making do and figuring things out and trying to get our feet underneath us with the pandemic. But to say, you know, yeah, we are going to be hybrid for a while, as much as we would not like to be. So what are the things that we could have in place? You know, if we can't, we can be in person, we can be online, we're going to straddle those two things. Maybe there's going to be a moment when we have to be all online, you know, so reflect on, if you might reflect on what have we learned in the last 6 months? What skills have we learned? What worked, what didn't work? what would we continue, what would we not continue, to kind of have a moment. I don't think many of us have had the opportunity to actually do that kind of reflection.
Yeah.
And to say, yeah, like, what do we want to carry forward? What new skills can we put into place? And then just kind of, and then taking those forward and, you know, refining them as we go.
Yeah, no, I think stopping, pausing for that reflection. I mean, I think a lot of people have just haven't had the time, as they've been just trying to meet the moment, to stop and reflect about where they need to be going next. And it's hard, because it's hard to see down the road right now. But I think the questions that you just raised are really important.
Oh, so if I could just sort of add one more thing. I think an important part of pausing to reflect is also to look back and be grateful for what's happened, because this whole time that we're living in, it's just so overwhelming, and it feels like such a huge challenge, and it just doesn't feel like enough, and it can be really disheartening. And when you look back and say, look at what we've learned, like, look at what we did, look how we've gotten better. I mean, I think that's a way of, I was just saying this to somebody at church, you know, the other day, like, when we look back, like, that's an encouraging thing to think about, and a way to look for the positive in a time that's been really difficult. And then I think that's some encouragement for us moving forward as well.
Yeah, that's a really excellent point. I also wanted to ask you about the different resources that are brought to bear in the online sphere. I know in so many churches, you know, the person who handled tech for worship was, you know, an important player, but not the most important player. And then now all of a sudden they've become the most important person on the team. And, you know, the skill set that preachers and musicians and others are needing to bring to worship are in many cases new, and that probably has implications for the kinds of talents and resources that churches need to deploy. And so I just wondered if you had any thoughts about how you see churches being able to develop the skills and resources that they're going to need for this new reality.
Yeah, it's funny, I've talked to some youth ministry leaders, and they're all of a sudden the most important person
yeah.
at the church, because they know how to use all these digital tools.
Right.
the person that ran the soundboard at church on Sunday morning and just did that, all of a sudden is the techiest person around. And so they're being called on to do different things. So yeah. I think we need to, one, identifying the people in our congregations who can help us and know these things. And two, I think investing in developing those skills ourselves. And some of it's just giving ourselves the time to practice on things. There's a ton of online resources from the Lewis Center, and I'm associated with the Virginia Theological Seminary as well. And the lifelong learning department there has a ton of resources on faith formation and digital ministry. So there's a lot that's really been put out, and there's been so much, I think, in having to respond to this time that we haven't even had the time to catch up. So if you are kind of taking this pause and you're looking around, there are a lot of resources that have been generated in the last 6 months that are available, like how to do retreats online, how to do youth ministry in a hybrid environment, and things like that. So, and if there's more formal training, and I don't know exactly what that would be, but if there's more formal training for staff members, we all need to get up to speed. And, you know, as we look ahead, it's just an important role or skill set, and really, I mean, I've thought for a long time a very essential skill set for people in ministry to have, to be able to connect and support the people that we minister to. I think church offices, I've long thought church offices will look different and just be much more digitally oriented, as opposed to kind of secretarially oriented. There's definitely a shift that I think will be accelerated on the administrative side of our churches by this pandemic as well.
Yeah, no, I do think that's a good point. I can see that in my own church. The nature of the office work has totally, it's changed because everything's electronic. You know, nobody's folding bulletins, and nobody's, you know, doing that work that was just sort of stock and trade of what went on in a church office on a weekly basis.
Exactly.
I hear from so many pastors and so many church leaders that they are under immense pressure from their congregants to reopen their buildings, and that there's just this, you know, underlying strong desire to want to get back to normal and be able to return to doing things the way that they used to do them. And I totally sympathize with that because I feel that every day, every week I feel that. Mm-hmm. And yet I know that, you know, that's probably not where my church needs to be now, and it's not where it needs to be going forward. And so how would you recommend that people, maybe push back isn't the right word, but how do we respond to that dynamic that there's a strong nostalgia for the way that things used to be, and yet we want to see things continue to move forward?
Yeah, I mean, that's super hard for everybody right now. I'd say by and large, my congregation is very supportive of what we're doing, and but there are people on all sides of this issue, right? Some people want to be back in right away. They wanted to be back in months ago, and some people aren't going to come back in until there's a widespread vaccine, and everybody in between. And ministry leaders just are in a really difficult place. Some of the things that we found out, and in some ways the hard way, you know, the importance of communication. And, you know, we used to have so many more ways to communicate at our disposal. And there was so much communication that was happening just on a very informal basis, or what would happen on a Sunday morning outside of the slides or announcements or kind of the formal ways that we would communicate. So, you know, we started doing a paper newsletter again, which we hadn't done in years. This was very successful for us. We hosted a town hall. It was like a Zoom webinar town hall gathering for mm-hmm. members of our church after church one Sunday. And that was really, really good. People submitted questions in advance so we could, you know, be ready to respond. And then people could ask follow-up questions or make comments. And that was really good. So I think, you know, if you can't throw the doors open, you can communicate better. We learned that we needed to be communicating better. I think people want to have a sense that things are happening at church, even if they're different. We were going to have a men's retreat weekend, can't do that. But we had like a campfire here on Sunday night at church. And that was just all spread out around the campfire. And that was great. So just the sense that things are happening. And then I think there's also the sense of this line of we're walking of, you know, people want to continue to have hope, right? That things are going to get better, and that we'll be able to be back together, and we'll regain a sense of normalcy. And there's this kind of line of being really realistic about where we are and what's happening, and the forecast, you know, for the winter in particular, and also holding out the hope that things could improve, that we could do things, that we can hold on to some sense of normalcy. So I find people struggling with that sense of trying to hold the hope. And we want to be realistic, but not kind of rip that hope away either.
Yeah, I think your point about communication is so true, because I find that, just as you said, that our sort of normal patterns of how people share information with one another have changed so much. And I don't think people have really figured out all how that's impacting things and over communicating. You know, I think we have to be really intentional about over communicating. Yeah. So I want to begin to draw this to a close, but I'm going to give you a hard question to end on. And I, you know, just to preface it, I mean, in this liminal time, I mean, I have such a hard time knowing what's even going to be happening 2 weeks from now, you know, much less what's going to be happening 6 months or 12 months or a year or 2 years from now. And so, you know, I know we're at a point where we can only see through the glass dimly. But I did want to ask you to prognosticate a bit, if you're willing to take a try. And the question is, how do you see this period that we're in changing the narrative of where the church is headed?
I got to say that I'm not sure that I see it changing the narrative as much as accelerating the narrative. So, you know, I read along with you the research about, you know, mainline Protestant traditions and tenets and membership and giving and all of those things, and that we certainly have some really powerful headwinds working against us. And there, you know, have been many small churches that have been very vulnerable, and that the pandemic is going to accelerate, I'm sure, accelerate church closings, you know, may or may not accelerate kind of a mainline decline. We'll have to see how people respond, you know, in faith, that this may very, very well be a time that rekindles our desire for community and need for a grounding in faith, you know, and hope and reclaiming some of the spirituality of our daily lives. So I tend to think that it's going to accelerate a lot of the trends that we've already been seeing and have been seeing for, you know, the last 20 or 25 years. And so there's certainly a lot of sadness about that, but I do think it's also accelerated our capacity to respond to changing times. So having had to go through this, the skills we've learned, the flexibility, the nimbleness that we've talked about, those are things I've been trying to encourage ministry leaders to do, to embody in these last many years as a way of preparing ourselves for a future that we're not quite sure of what it looks like. And we have, you know, we're being equipped, whether we like it or not, to respond to this time. So I do think there is hope that for those churches that continue, for people that continue in ministry, that the things that we're learning now, you know, whenever the pandemic comes to a close, are really actually going to help us respond and to the future and lead the church into the future. I mean, The Digital Cathedral is a hopeful book about the ways that we can be church. And I think we're living into those right now, certainly in a painful and unwanted way, but in ways that I hope will be able to take us forward.
Yeah, I do think this period has been revelatory in so many ways. I mean, you know, crisis has a way of doing that, of revealing things. And I have seen so many hopeful things emerge in this time that I think in many ways it's renewed my hope in the church's ability to change when necessary. Keith, this has been a fascinating conversation. I am so delighted that you've been willing to share your thoughts with our listeners, and so grateful for the work that you've done over the years and for your willingness to share what you learn and your perspectives with others. So really appreciate you talking with us today.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for having me, and thanks for all you do.
On the next Leading Ideas Talks, we speak with Jacqueline Jones Smith, pastor of Christ United Methodist Church in St. Petersburg, Florida, about how a church can turn itself around by taking stock of its assets and leveraging them.
Thank you for joining us, and don't forget to subscribe free to our weekly newsletter, Leading Ideas, at churchleadership.com/leadingideas.